Like to talk about this word perception. In the dictionary that I looked it up in, it said the act of perceiving. So I looked up the word perceive, and the word perceive means to have knowledge or receive impressions of external objects through the medium or instrumentality of senses or bodily organs, as to perceive light or color, to perceive the cold or ice, or the taste of honey. To know, to understand, to observe. So perception is the act of knowing. It's the act of understanding. It's the act of observing. It's the act of having knowledge or receiving impressions. So I had an experience this week that's kind of caused my thinking to go this way, and some of y'all were there with us, so just bear with us as we talk about our thought. But perception sometime is it can be a real asset to be able to perceive when things are not going right. Maybe you wake up and you smell something that smells hot. And that's usually a sign that somebody left the something on the stove, or maybe it's worse. Maybe something is shorted out, and you smell something that smells like wires or something, and that can be pretty alarming. Here some time ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard water running, and at first it was like, oh, somebody's, you know, maybe washing their hands. And then I thought, no, that's not that. And I got up and there was a pipe that had come off under the sink. And I had water. I had a flood going on in the kitchen. It's been quite a while ago. But, you know, when those kind of perceptions happen, it can be a little bit distressing. In fact, it can be a whole lot distressing. I heard somebody on the radio yesterday, they were calling in to Click and Clack. Y'all probably heard that. Some of y'all have. And this lady called in and said that her problem was that she went to go to bed when they'd loaned their vehicle to their daughter. And when she brought it back, and then they went to go to bed, and she told her husband, says, I think I hear the car. And he said, no, said she. Our daughter brought it back, said it's okay. So they went on to bed, and the next morning they got up to take the dog out or something, and the car was out there running in the driveway. So it had sat out there and idled all night long. So her perception was right. She did hear the car run, and it's like, oh. Anyway, that would be kind of distressing to realize that you let your car run out there in the driveway all night. But we have many things that we perceive, and we're able to tell by sound, by smell, by maybe something we see. We see a little change in the horizon or something, and we know that even the scripture talks about it, the sky being red in the night or red in the morning at sunset or sunrise, and that gives an indication of what the weather's going to do, or give us some kind of clue as what to expect for the night or the next day. I'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs and notice one verse. In 31 of Proverbs, most of y'all know what the majority of Proverbs 31 is about. It's talking about a virtuous woman. And I want to look at one verse, an 18th verse. It says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her her candle goeth not out by night. So I'm thinking about a virtuous woman, a good woman, an industrious woman, recognizing or perceiving or understanding that her merchandise is good. And how does she tell that? She tells that by looking on the functionality of it, of the appearance of it. I believe that it's important for us to have an accurate perception of things about us, about our own activities, and about who we are and what we're doing. I believe that it's good to have an accurate perception of the work that we accomplish. I'm talking about our literal work. You know, our work should be more than just going through the motions. Have you ever thought about that? You know, there are many times that we can have such a negative outlook on our work, and people look on work as drudgery, and they begin to think that their work is something to be avoided, and they just go to their place of employment, and they just go through the motions. You know, I took the stuff off of this conveyor and put it on that conveyor and made sure it was going. I paid no attention to whether it was defective or not. I just went through the motions all day long, and I don't know if I was producing bad parts or good parts, if I was on a machine that was making parts. I was just assembling things, and it's not my concern whether it functioned when I got done with it or not. Thinking about somebody that maybe even closer to home, you know, there's times that you can take the dirty dishes and put it in the dishwater, and you can just kind of swish it around a little bit and maybe wipe it very quickly with a dishcloth and rinse it, and it's clean. There's no cruds on it all. But, you know, if you've had peanut butter in your cold cereal, or if you've had scrambled eggs or fried eggs or something like that, sometimes the egg yolk and the peanut butter if you've been baking brownies or something like that, sometimes there's some stuff that takes a little scratching to get off of there. And just putting it in the dishwasher and swishing it around in the sink a little bit and rinsing it off and hanging it, it don't get it all. But you could say, well, I washed the dishes. Well, maybe you did, but what's this big hunk of stuff on here? You know, we need to have an accurate perception of what I'm doing. Is it good? This woman in Proverbs 31 perceived that her merchandise was what? It was good. It was marketable. It was acceptable. It would, if you're building something and you're wanting to sell it, you need to be able to step back and look at it and say, would I buy that thing? You know, if somebody was trying to sell me this, would I buy it? Or does it look like a piece of rubbish? You know, does it function like it's supposed to? Will it do what it is designed to do? Or is it just a bunch of scrap? Did I take new materials and just make scrap out of it? It's important for us to be like this woman and have the perception about, an accurate perception about what I'm doing. If I'm trying to care for somebody, am I actually helping them? Or am I just being a plague to them? You know, are they comfortable with my help to them? Am I being assistance? Or are they really wishing I wasn't there? All of these things, to me, is a challenge for us to perceive what we're doing, and ultimately the goal is to be able to perceive that our merchandise is good. Our actions and our attitudes. Do we give others the impression, an impression that we don't want them to have? So What do people pick up about us? You know, sometimes people perceive that you've had a bad day. How did they perceive that? Well, maybe it's because you didn't talk too much, or maybe it's because you said some grumpy things, or maybe it's because you was frowning, or maybe it was because of something else. But, you know, people are going to pick up things about us, and do our actions cause people to perceive that we're a Christian? Do we cause people to perceive that we are actually contented with our experience of salvation? Or do people look on us and perceive that we're miserable and we don't like what we're doing? It's a thought that we need to really consider, each one of us. I think about our spiritual integrity. This woman here said she perceived her merchandise was good. What about our spiritual merchandise that we have on the shelf? Do we face the reality of where our relationship is with the Lord? Or do we just kind of tune it out? But we really need to be perceptive of where we stand with the Lord. And ultimately, we want to be like this woman. We want to perceive that what we have on hands, what our relationship with the Lord is good. We don't want to have a bad relationship with God. We don't want to have a bad relationship with our spouse, with our children, with our family. We want to have good things, right? So the main thing here that I want to challenge us with, I believe this woman was being able to look at the things that she was making with her hands and recognized it was good. She had applied herself. May we apply ourselves in our actions, in our attitudes, in our work, our physical work, and in our spiritual life, to where when we look on, we can say that it's good. And other people would look on and say that it's good. All right, I'd like for us to turn to Matthew, the 26th chapter, and think about other people's perception of us. In Matthew 26, we have the account here of where Jesus was being questioned, being tried, and Peter, you know, it had been prophesied that he was going to deny the Lord. And in Matthew 26 and verse 73, I'll read one verse here. And after a while came unto him they that stood by. There were those that were standing around in the vicinity of where the place was that Jesus was being tried at the chief priest's house or place, whatever it was there. And so there was some that stood by, and they said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." Now, even the dictionary says that's kind of an archaic word or old. Surely your speech bewrayeth you. And one definition of the word of that word is to betray you. How would someone's speech betray you? An accent? Maybe the words that you use? Maybe the maybe it would reveal. I heard someone say not so long ago that someone that uses only one-syllable words is an indication of a less than superior education or intelligence. You know, people that use multiple-syllable words is more educated or more intelligent. That's a sign of intelligence to use long words. Anyway. That was an observation I heard someone say. So maybe, whatever it was, they observed in Peter, in the way he talked, they said, "Your speech bewrayeth, or your speech betrayeth you. They perceived that he was one of Jesus' disciples just by the words he used. Well, you sound kind of like those other disciples. You sound like kind of the words that Jesus would use, maybe. And we know where that ended up. But the point I want us to understand is the dialect that we have. Our dialect is distinct here in this part of our state and this area that we live in. When I went back to my 25th high school reunion and I listened to my classmates talk, some of them that were there, and I listened to even one of our teachers that we had in high school was there with us, and we took a tour through the school and all of this. Even the way the teacher talked, and I come away from there thinking, did I really sound like that? Did has my way of speaking changed compared to what it used to be when I was in school, when I grew up in this part of the state? And we're just across the state of Missouri. And you try to talk to someone from... I can understand someone from the south better than I can from the northeast. If I pick up the phone and someone is from Maine or Massachusetts or someplace like that, I have to ask them to repeat themselves over and over because it's just, I don't understand them. So our speech can betray us because the perception is we know kind of where if someone uses... if they talk in a real drawl and they talk kind of slow, we just immediately perceive that they're from the South. They're from Alabama or they're from Mississippi or Louisiana or someplace like that. So the others that was around Peter perceived that he was one of Jesus' disciples. Many times people's perception becomes a place that ends up being an argument. And it did in Peter's case. Peter denied this. Even though someone perceived it, he denied it. And the next verse says that he began to curse and say, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. I want us to realize how important it is to conduct ourselves in a way that people don't perceive us in the wrong way. Our speech, our actions, our work, our everything about us, we need to conduct ourselves in a manner that people don't unjustly perceive the wrong thing about us. But I'd like to move on a little bit. Let's go to St. John, the first chapter. St. John chapter 1, and we're going to read beginning in verse 44. I want to read about someone here that seemed to have some of the... He made some perceptions, but he was willing to adjust his perceptions. Beginning in verse 44, it says, Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. So Philip came and was trying to expressed to him, to Nathanael, we found the Christ, the Messiah. And he said, it's Jesus, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael knew, maybe there was some more dialogue that went on, but he knew that this Joseph was from Nazareth. So his immediate response was, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Why did he say that? He hadn't even met this person. But my guess is that he had had some experience with or knew the track record of Nazareth. So his perception was, there's nothing good that can come out of there. And you know why some people perceive that you might be fake or that you might be something that you're not? Is because they've had some past experience.
Yes.
So they immediately jump to a conclusion or they perceive that you're going to be just like that. Lord, help us. We are, in many cases, our brother's keeper. And if we conduct ourselves in a bad manner and someone finds out, well, you're part of that family, or you're part of that congregation, you're part of, you live in that country or that state or that city or that county or whatever. Well, the last time they had an experience with someone from that organization, it was bad. They felt taken advantage of, or they felt misrepresented, and something was misrepresented, and maybe somebody sold them a good used car, and it turned out that it wasn't good. It was used, but it wasn't good. So now their perception is, if you're from Jasper County in the state of Missouri, I wouldn't buy a car over there. The last one I bought over there was no good. Or the last time I went over there and picked up some vegetables, I got sick. Or whatever it was. We can perceive things by past experience. So Nathanael's perception of Jesus was impacted by what he knew in the past about Nazareth. So let's see what happened. Verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there be anything good? Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see for yourself. I believe Philip had confidence in Nathanael being not just someone that would perceive or make have a perception or jump to a conclusion, but he was a careful man. We'll find out. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than this. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So Nathanael, when he came to Jesus, and Jesus began to speak to him, Nathanael changed his perception, didn't he? He went from saying, I don't believe there can be anything good come out of Nazareth, to he immediately addressed Christ and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now, why would he be able to change this perception? I believe there was something else besides just Jesus' words. I believe that the Holy Spirit was able to speak to him. I believe that Jesus' words was one thing, but there was the presence of the Lord. And Nathanael was acquainted with the Lord's presence. We know that because Jesus said, an Israelite indeed in whom there's no guile. He was a careful man. He was a diligent man. He knew what it was like to commune with God. And here, when he came in Jesus' presence, that same realization of being in the God, the creation God's presence, I believe witnessed to him. And when Jesus said what he did to him, Nathanael's response was rabbi or teacher, leader. So may the Lord help us in our perceptions to not just allow our perceptions to rule us, but from past experience. But may the Lord help us to be willing to adjust our perceptions to what is really going on. You know, our perception can be based on people's clothes. They can be based on people's cleanliness, their vocabulary, their complexion, their hair color. Maybe you can make adjustment about a person's, our perception about someone's temper and all those things. I'll tell you a little story that I had, I seen happen, and it's not just a fake story, it's something I really seen. Back a number of years ago, I was working there in Oklahoma. I had a farmer that I would come in, and he was always trying to fix something himself, and he usually created a disaster for himself. So he came in one time, and he was having some difficulty, and I told him, I said, you know, I wasn't being able to explain to him how to take something apart and put it together. And I told him, I said, Leon, I said, why don't I just come out there and help you with this? So he said, all right. He told me where he lived, and I went out after work, and I'd made some expensive repairs on this man's truck. In fact, I'd put a new engine in this truck for him, and it was awful looking. The door was so wore out on this truck that when you closed it, you'd have to roll the window down and lift the door and slam it at the same time to get it to latch. But he wanted a new engine put in it, so we did that, and he paid his bill. Whatever he wanted, if he told you to do it, he would write you a check. It was good for it. But this truck looked terrible. I mean, he hit cows and fences and everything else with it. It was terribly beat up. So I went out and helped him. And so I knew him pretty good. And I knew that he was a man of his word. And if he said he was interested in something, that's what... But he wore kind of thick glasses, and usually one earpiece was kind of taped up, and it kind of set on his face crooked, and he always wore overalls that looked like they should have been retired to the rag barrel. He just didn't look like he had two nickels to rub together. And he came in one day, and he told me, he said, I've been thinking about buying a new truck. And he asked me what I thought about this or that or something else, so I told him, and I seen him walk from my place in the garage. He walked right up to the front, and he walked all around in the showroom, and nobody would talk to him. And I thought, well, directly, I wasn't paying, watching every move. Directly, I guess he left. And a few weeks or so later, here he come up in a new truck. And I said, and I don't remember what, he wanted me to look at something or fix something on this new truck. And I said, Leon, I said, where'd you get the new truck? He said, oh, I said, I went down to such and such place and I bought me a new pickup. And I said, well, I thought you went up here to buy one. He said, I did, but nobody would talk to me. Nobody would talk to this man. The perception was he couldn't afford a truck. He was just hanging out. And if he'd have went in there in nice clothes and looking expensive, there would have been three or four of them wanting to sell him something. But nobody even come to him and ask him if they could help him. Well, our perceptions many times can be wrong. And this man, because of what he looked like, people perceived that he couldn't afford a new truck. And I'm certain that he just paid for it when he bought it. He was that type of person. So I'd like to look at a scripture now in John, the 8th chapter, and kind of get to the focus of my thought this morning. Perception. We want to do the things that causes us to be able to recognize that what we're doing is good. And we want to live in a manner where others will have the right perception of us. And we want to be able to portray the image of God in the world around us. But let's look here in John, the 8th chapter. I'll begin reading in the 12th verse. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. So Jesus here was saying to the crowd, those that were around, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Pharisees' perception was that he was wrong. Their perception was that he was a fake, that he was saying something that was untrue. And Jesus went on and he said, yes, I know that I'm talking about myself, but I know where I come from. I know what I'm talking about. I know that you don't understand. He said, you judge after the flesh. You just you're looking on to me and you're thinking, now this is that son of Joseph of Nazareth, the one that Nathanael's perception was that there's nothing good that can come from Nazareth. Now, I would guess that the Pharisees probably had reason to have the same perception of anybody that came from Nazareth. It wasn't because Nathanael was the only one. I believe that there was others too. But the difference is that they came in close proximity with Jesus, and yet the Holy Spirit wasn't able to speak to them. Their perception didn't change, and they confronted Jesus and told him, you're just a fake. You're not who you say you are. Your record is not true. What you're saying is it's a lie, basically, is what they were saying. Now, and Jesus went on to say, ye judge after the flesh. Have you ever been judged? Have you ever had any perception that others made about you that was false? I have. I got to thinking about that some this week. Earlier in the week, someone perceived that the congregation here was Pentecostal. I don't know where they got that from. I don't know how they come to that conclusion. But they made reference to it in a public setting, and there was nothing I could say, nothing I could do. There was no appropriate place to blow a whistle and say, you're wrong, you're mistaken, you need to correct that statement. And I thought, now, there was some other people that I know there too. And you know, when the opportunity comes, I guess I'm going to have to try to explain to some of them. But it's so easy for that someone's perception to get thrown out there and sway an entire group, and sway an entire crowd of people into thinking something. And the Pharisees said, your record is not true. You're not who you say you are. And Jesus said, you're judging after the flesh, but that's not the way I would do it. I don't know what this person's seen in me. I don't know. I didn't even tell him the name of, I don't think I did, the name of that we use as the church. I said where I went. Oh yes, I know exactly where you're talking about. And then he tells everybody that we're Pentecostal. You know, let's be careful. Men, we can say, well, you got to watch them women drivers. It makes some kind, it's a perception, you see. And women, you can say, It's just like a man, you know, hard-headed, or just like a, you know, bull in a china closet. You know, you're clumsy. You know, there's just a perception, see. And if we're not careful, we can throw that blanket of perception out there, and it can cause a real impact when it really it wasn't necessary, when it really wasn't, it was wrong. And I want to give you all a little bit of insight here about myself. You know, this is what I found. If I was to undertake correcting everybody's perceptions about me, I'd have a full-time job and I wouldn't get nothing else done. I'm guessing this morning that some of you, maybe a lot of you, have perceptions about me that if you asked me, I'd say, well, no, that's not right. Just little things. Well, I perceive that, you know, he's this or he's that. And, you know, I hear things from time to time, you know, usually third or fourth hand. Well, is it because you're this way or you're that? I was like, where'd you get that? Well, you know, that's just what it looked like, or that's what I thought. You know, we can't fix all of that. But when somebody asks us, we can tell, like Jesus did. He told them, I know where I'm come from. I know where I'm going. I know how that I would make judgment, but I'm not coming here just to judge. That's what Jesus said. And I want us to be careful about getting caught up in trying to straighten out everybody's perceptions. But neither do I want us to tell us, you just conduct yourself any... No, that's not the way we ought to do. We need to be conscientious. We need to be like the woman in Proverbs 31 that considered her merchandise and found that it was good. It wasn't bad merchandise. It wasn't something that she needed to be ashamed of. It was good merchandise. And I believe we should have good merchandise in our life. The work that we do, the temporal work, it ought to be good. You make a product, it ought to be sellable. It ought to be presentable. If you're cooking a meal, it ought to be edible. You ought to be able to present it with confidence, knowing that it would be nourishing and tasteful to the family or to whoever is eating it. We ought to live in a manner to where others would not get the wrong perception if they would really look at what's on the face value. We ought to be conscientious. But in the same hand, remember that because you say that you're a Christian, there's going to be somebody that has a negative perception of that, and they're liable to make a blanket statement that you have no way of fixing. You're just going to have to live it down. You're going to have to live carefully to where those that really know you know that's the wrong perception. Somebody says, well, I'm a used car salesman. Well, you know what the perception of a lot of people is about a used car salesman? That they're dishonest, that they would sell you something that's not... But it doesn't mean you can't be an honest used car salesman. But Lord, help us to conduct ourselves in a manner that those that really know us know that's a wrong perception. But you're not going to be able to put enough advertisement out there. You're not going to be able to call your car lot Honest Dan's or whatever it is to convince people. It's not going to change some people's perceptions. I can't go back and recreate the setting that this false perception was made in and be able to straighten it all out. But I can live in a manner where those that know me will know that's not the right perception. That person was mistaken. If you're a woman today, you can drive in a manner that earns the respect of other drivers, whether they're male or female. And somebody that has this perception of, look out, it's a woman driver, you know, everybody off of the side. No, that person, I'm confident that they know how to drive. And just because you're a man doesn't mean you're all thumbs and you're clumsy and you'll tear something up if you touch it. It doesn't have to be that way. No, that's true. We can live in a manner where those that know us know that we have good merchandise, that we're respectable, we're honest, and we have integrity about us. But realize that perception is a powerful thing out there, and it can influence some people to where it's difficult, and it makes us want to argue and defend. You remember what Peter did? People's perception was, well, you're one of those. Well, he was one of them. But he was in denial of it, but he gave himself away, and he immediately became combative about it. And did it do him any good? It didn't do him any good. You know how much good it'll do us? What would you have thought about me this past week if when these statements had been made, I'd interrupted the whole thing and made a big scene out of it? Would y'all like me any better then? No, I doubt it. Well, we got to live in a manner to where people's perception of us as individuals would be accurate. And I'm telling you, it's just part of life. People's going to make wrong perceptions. Well, you got red hair? Well, look out. Don't cross them. Something else about you that distinguishes you from maybe others? Well, people's going to have some perception about that too. But Lord, help us to live sincerely, genuinely, and where people's perception, if they really know us, they'll know that we have good merchandise. You pray for me.